Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, coming to you live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I am Porter Hayes, and alongside, as always, is Adam Hall. We are brought to you by Bet Online, where you get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, NFL, Major League Baseball, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And of course, we couldn't start anywhere else other than congratulating the Arkansas women's indoor track and field on the 50th total national champion. And I posted earlier about we need to change the phrase 50 burger to 50 banner. All oppose say nay, all for say aye. I think that's cool. You know, when they raise that 50 banner up, I'm just impressive. To the outside world, a lot of people's going to say, who cares? It's just track. But you know what? We still have 50 national champions in track and field. And just for first-year head coach to, yeah, you pick up that the stacked squad. But, man, Adam, it's hard to win in those the gymnastics, the golf, and the track and field because you've got to qualify – enough people as a team to even get to the national championship where you can score enough points. And for them to dominate, beating Florida 55-50 was very impressive.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I know a lot of the major sport fans try to not latch onto, or they try to discount it, discredit it. But, you know, it's one of those things that when you talk about this school is that, this school is this, fact of the matter is – Arkansas is a track school.
Yeah.
I mean, that. Let's just call it like it is.
Yep.
And it's not trying to, like, talk down upon anything else. It's what the university is known for and what the university is good at. You roll into Fayetteville and you start seeing, you know, the road signs for the national championships and this, that, and the other. And, I mean, it's called the track capital of the world for a reason.
Yeah. And again, I mean, there's a lot of schools that don't have – anything school. There, you know, no knock on them. There's just some schools, they don't have any claim to any top programs. And for you to sit there and say that as a track and field program, you're the best. You are the standard. Mm-hmm. And I know baseball hasn't won a national championship yet in baseball, but they are kind of, what it comes to a program, the standard, minus the national championships. So, I think it's just it's kind of disrespectful in the fact when other people want to discredit one's national championships to make their school, well, you only got yours in track and field. Well, I'm sorry. You know, that's the way it is. They still count. And I tell you what, those athletes, again, you don't get to just relish in your national championship. They got like 2 weeks, and then they got outdoor season. So there's not a big break.
Yeah. I was looking at that schedule, and I was, you know, when I was going through and putting the schedule together for the entire week, I was just like, okay, no track. And I looked and I was just like, dang, they're turning around in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Here they go again. And that's just how it is. But it's funny that people will try to, like, discredit the track national championships. But then I see some of these folks out there like, oh, Kentucky just won the equestrian. And I'm like, okay, so y'all post that, but you want to talk down on our national championships and track. Okay.
Yeah. And we talked about that. We had Coach Harder on last year after their 49th. And, you know, again, Chris Johnson, his first year, national champion. I mean, look, there's only one way to go up mm-hmm. when you win the SEC and a national championship in your first year. But, again, when you have stars like they have and just continuing to pack on and, you know, again, the three phases, you have your field events, you have your sprints, then you have your distance. And to be able to excel in all three, and the men, runner-up. I mean, mm-hmm. how could we not even include the men getting national runners-up? So kudos, again, to the track capital of the world, the men's and women's track team, to start off the show tonight. But we'll dive into the basketball game against Bama. You know, hard-fought game. And we'll talk about, you know, something I had mentioned to you off air in a second. But, you know, yes, that was a horrible no call at the end. And, again, I mean, when that has a direct, could have had direct consequence on the outcome of the game. I believe it was a three-point game. He hits two of those free throws, and it's a five-point game, two-possession game. Because then didn't they go right back down and hit a three at the other end? So, it changed the whole – and, again, when you're talking about basketball, you can't sit there and say that there's no emotions and momentum. More so in, I would say, any college game than basketball. Because you got the game of runs. You have how that plays. And so you think you're up, you're down three, you get a block that was a no-call dunk, then you go down and you turn around and hit another three. That changes the whole aspect of this game where you're trying to hold on to now you're up. So, again, you know, when you have to make those calls, and what really pisses me off about it is, in the game of basketball, a shooter can go up, defender runs to him, he sits on the ground, and then falls down because the guy tips it, he don't give him enough room to land. How many times have we seen those flops or... But yet after the play, he gets hit in the face and there's a no call. What's the difference there?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of comes down to, you know, they changed a lot of those rules. I mean, due to, quite frankly, Jalen Williams, when it came to charges and whatnot. But yeah, they're, you know, supposed to have space to get him to land on all that. But I looked, you know, I was trying to not just immediately react to the no call. And, you know, it was one of those that, okay, so what's that happened? Yes. In a few possessions before, I mean, there was a blatant walk by Alabama that wasn't called. And, you know, then you have to look at other things, though, that, you know, should Battle have pulled up for that three? You know, you have made your money, especially these last five games or four games, then that being the fifth, in driving to the hole and drawing contact. Yeah. And you chose a pull-up three, and you had guys in the lane, too. I mean, Grant Nelson, you know, I thought he fouled out two or three different times, but it just never seemed like it, or it never actually happened. But I don't understand why you pull up right there and you don't try to drive.
Yeah, and I get it. I get your side of it. He's just, you know, when you've been...
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Called upon to carry this team, per se, offensively. I mean, you got to give him a little bit of grace on it because, look, he hits it. He's a hero, okay? That's a 50-50 play. Like, he misses it, you know, and not saying that your side's wrong on it. I'm not saying anything about that. It's just when you're being called upon and you're scoring 30-point games, four games in a row, and you're on a heater, and you have the – I mean, if that would have been at home, I mean, he probably nails that shot, just how the basketball gods go. But – you can't, I mean, yes, should he have, you know, settled and went to the basket and tried to get a layup, but again, here's the thing, though. You go try to get contact, you don't get a call, and you miss the layup. You know, so, I mean, it could go either ways, because, I mean, are you guaranteed that if you drive the lane, you're going to get a foul call? I mean, it sometimes don't work that way. But I don't think it was a bad judgment. I mean, no, I take it back. I don't think it's a bad judgment because, you know, his position. If it's somebody that never shoots threes, Mitchell, he's shooting a three out there. Okay, hey, look, he should have. But, no, you give him credit. But kind of what we were talking about off air is, I mean, what do you think this trend that I kind of brought up of, I've noticed that Musselman's teams are clicking later and later and later as these years go on. First, it was, you know, January SEC season. This team's finally clicking. Then it was end of January. Then we go into February. Now we're into March. I mean, is this a product of him trying to just use the portal so much to build his program that it's kind of catching up to him in a way?
I think it's a double-edged sword. I personally just think that the guys that were selected in the transfer portal to come here, I don't think they were necessarily like the top guys you were going after. I think we kind of know that just based on who was out there that, you know, Arkansas was kind of projected to land, you know, Grant Nelson being one of those.
Yeah.
So I think you're grabbing guys later and later in the transfer portal, which, you know, they all still show up, you know, to the school at around the same time, but you're just not getting necessarily the guys that you originally wanted. I think that he got scores from their respective teams, but it kind of goes back to what we've talked about all season that, you know, there's a lot of eyes on the team, but, you know, there's not a lot of team players.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's – and we've talked about also guys that haven't really seemed to accept a role. You know, they're used to being a scorer or whatever from their previous teams, and that's not necessarily how it is here. And I don't think they have adjusted well as players to being in just a particular role like we saw previously, which, you know, like with Jordan Walsh especially.
Yeah. And you look at Battle's stats, you know, I think we brought this up about a month or two ago about just needing that consistency. We've seen sparks of what he could do and Mark has been able to do. But you look at from the 17th until now, he's scored 18, 15, 42, 36, 34, 29, and 22. Before that, I mean, again, it's easy to say now, why haven't you been able to get him the ball and this and that? But, I mean, you look the previous, like, 20-point game, I say 20-point game, he scored 18 against ACU Abilene Christian on 21st of December. I mean, after that, he goes, against Georgia, 1 for 8. Against Ole Miss, he's 2 for 9. Kentucky, 3 for 10. Missouri, 2 for 6. Then LSU, 0 for 3. So, I don't know. Something finally clicks. But, I mean, you go to Tennessee, he was 2 for 5. I mean, so it's not like this guy didn't have minutes. I mean, he played, you know, against Kentucky, 34 minutes. Mississippi had 27. Georgia had 24. And Auburn, he had 17. And then that game went for 18. He had 26 minutes. So, it's easy to say you see this barrage and why hasn't he been playing? Well, I mean, you look at the before he went off for 18 points against Mississippi State, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 games he had 10 or more minutes. But then, you know, he had a 3-game stretch where against Duke, Furman, and OU where he went 21, 25, and then 13. And then he had that one game against Abilene Christian and just kind of went ghost for a second. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of variables. That could be one of them what-ifs. What if he just had a consistent year where he was scoring those 17 points? How many of these games would have Arkansas have won?
I think that the rotation that we've seen, because we've talked about it on here, we've talked about it off camera, that when you're getting away from the 7-8 man rotation like Mus is known for, and you're rotating 12-13 guys trying to find something to work, you know, that's not necessarily just going to affect like one person. You're kind of affecting your rhythm with other players too, getting these, you know, so I think expanding the rotation has hurt all around. And, you know, we hear every year, you know, people ask, is he going to move off, you know, the 7-8 guys? He needs to move off the 7-8 guys. Well, he tried it this year and it didn't work. And, you know, that's one of those things. Shooters need to shoot.
Yes.
So that's one thing that I'll say about, because I know that I have been on Pinion's case this season, last season, about being a defensive liability. But at the same time, he hasn't had any opportunity offensively. There's no, you know, plays drawn for him. He just goes and stands in the corner for the most part. And I think somebody like him, that he needs to be in more than a minute or two to actually get in a rhythm. And, you know, whether it's coming off screens or plays drawn up directly for him. Then on the other hand, when he does get the ball, he needs to learn to attack the rim.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that he is one that I think would benefit from more minutes just so he can get in a rhythm. But, you know, back to battle, there was times this season I was wondering where he was. What's he doing? And I just fully think the bigger rotation affected several of the players.
Yeah, and what you were mentioning about, you know, Pinion, if you know that there's heat on you, and especially like if you, okay, you're a defensive liability, or if you, but if you're a shooter, and that's, and I'm not saying he's not a good basketball player, but if you're just known to be a shooter, whether you're like a Dusty Hannes, and, you know, that's what you're known for, is shooting. Well, if I miss a couple, and then, of course, I miss a defensive assignment, am I getting pulled? You know, you don't have that comfortability of knowing, okay, I'm just going to go out there, play my game, and you're going to make more shots that way. It's easier said than done, of course, because you see the struggles, but that's the a lot of it's mentality, and your mentality throws off your rhythm. When you're in a rhythm and you're in the zone, we've seen spurts of what he can do. I mean, after the first time he caught, he come back and scored what I believe was 15, you know, and just went off and showed that he was a force to be reckoned with and he could play. You know, that's what this whole team's identity has been, is just we need just two or three people to step up, and this would be a whole different team. You wouldn't be 12th place fighting to play five games in 5 days to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and we, you know, going back to, we've talked about also, what are these guys going to do to finish up the season, whether it's for themselves, this team, whatever the case may be. And, you know, that answer's truly not going to be answered, I guess, until season's done, portal season's out there, to see, you know, who stays, who goes. Because right now it's the questions are going to be is who's going to return. Are you playing differently now to essentially make yourself look better for your next destination if you're not going to stay?
Yeah.
Or are you setting this up to, so next year, you know, you come back on a somewhat high note compared to how the season's gone?
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, and I think when you're, we can call it, you know, battles that offensive leader, when he goes ahead and he says, all right, I know I'm coming back. I mean, that right there, that moment can sway other people's decisions. Are they going to come back? And I know they're already, Cam Hunter, I believe, is the guy at UCA that they're out of the transfer portal. You know, they're looking at getting these guys. And the beauty of thing is you can look at a guy from UCA and be like, okay, he's a good, he could come benefit us. If it was football, you'd be like, what the, why are they even looking at UCA? Why? But to answer a couple of questions, you know, the rotation, going back to eight guys, do you think coaches change? There's always some kind of coaching change when it comes to Musselman. So to say that there's not, that would surprise me if there wasn't.
I think I know where the, and this is
not. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwood1.
Not anything that's been said out there, put out there.
Watch it on the coaching stuff.
You know, my personal opinion, that is all this is. I think that we don't see his main assistant return. And that was before, you know, the hoopla of this season, the downfall of this season. That was just, you know, and this is what Mus has guys that are ready to go to the next level if they haven't already been there.
Yeah.
So Keith Smart is that point. He's been there before. He's going to go back. You know, we saw it with Coach Gus. We've seen it, you know, previously with others. And so, I think he needs to possibly look, which I know we have, when I say this, I don't mean this directed towards Ronnie Brewer because I know he's on the staff. I think you look at these former players that aren't necessarily from Arkansas, but these NBA level coaches, players, to bring on staff because the players really seem to resonate with them. You know, I know early on we had was it Speedy Claxton? No, I think Speedy Claxton was on. He's had a few other.
Talking about Smart,
former, huh?
Was it Smart? Was he one of them?
Well, no, we had like, I want to say Speedy Claxton. I don't think Muggsy Bogues was here because he was a short NBA dude.
Oh, yeah.
But was on coaching. So I just think getting these guys that have coached in the league or been a part of the NBA help the players buy into it a little bit more. You know, and it's one of those, there were questions this last offseason on whether or not, you know, was Michael Musselman really the man for the job?
Yeah.
Or was it, you know, being the coach's son and being on staff that got him that? And he's going to have a coaching career. It's just, and you got to start somewhere. I wonder how that all actually came about. Well, is all.
He's done good at his job, though. I mean, yes. We can't, when it comes to anything, when it comes to the recruiting, you're getting guys in, and we put a lot of emphasis on one bad year. You know, now, again, now, look, you've had your one bad year. Let's not make it a trend. Let's bounce back. You know, again, you know, Arkansas is not used to, under Eric Musselman era, we're not used to this stuff. We're not used to NIT talk. It's Elite Eights. It's Sweet 16. So to have this kind of year, you know, of course, people are going to start churning. But a lot of it had to do with the football team. There was a lot of hope put on the basketball. Look at the baseball team. Now they're carrying the weight of two programs to get things to turn around. Now they're the number one team in the country. So it all – winning cures everything. And it a does. Lot of it starts with the football program. And then, you know, we've said this time and time again. I mean, I think it happened with the 9-1 year in the basketball. But, I mean, I could just – you've seen what it did to everything when you have 9 wins in football. Then your basketball team's a Sweet 16, Elite Eight. Baseball team's on the verge of the World Series. So – that's where, as a whole, you need a bowl, a good bowl game for Arkansas, potentially with the 12-team college football playoff, maybe in contention. Not saying you have to get there, but get your program where they're in contention for that 12-team playoff. And then the fact that the baseball program.
Well, that's something, you know, as fans, we haven't been used to this under Mus. Mus has not been used to this himself. He's never had a college season under 20 wins ever. I mean, granted, it's only, you know, 4 years, whatever, in Nevada, but he's never had less than. And here we are. So it's new territory for him and then us as fans under him.
Yeah. Kind of the elephant in the room before we go to the break. You know, it's like, can Kentucky fire the women's coach? Will Arkansas make the change in women's basketball? I really don't know. You just think about when there's buyouts and stuff involved And again, you're talking about, and let's just be real, I've been on both sides of this, these programs, you know, when it comes to the women's programs and stuff, and it's still a non-revenue generated sport. So you look at it from the business side of your athletic program, because all in all, it's one of them that this is a business decision. If you're trying to go find somebody to build a program, or you give Mike Nabors a chance to get things going. You still got time left on it in his contract. So what'd you say? What, 1.2 million?
He's got two more seasons, I believe, under his contract through the 25-26 season. I think he would be owed around the $1.2-1.3 million because last April he was at $1.9 million, so going down $700,000. You know, that's just the rough. But yeah, I mean, they'd be looking at, I think, over $1 million to let him go.
And I'm just gonna be quite honest. I'm gonna be very honest. This is a very touchy subject for me. I really, out of just what Coach Nabors has done for me in my media and getting into this realm, him and Coach Dyfel, it's hard for, I don't want to speak on it because it's hard. I'm just going to be dead honest. It's hard for me to even talk about and fathom the fact that he's not the coach here. I've stuck up for him, and whether it's warranted or not, you know, I've always been a ride or die for him because of what he's done. And I know that times you take a step back and realize that there's a lot of riding on this year. I knew it coming into this. This is a very important season for the women's program, having the talent. And again, it just seems like there's just things that happen to the program and the team that cause things to just go awry. I mean, you think 2 weeks before the season, Jersey leaves the team. Sasha, mid-season, doesn't come back. You know, you have injuries, and you're trying to have – put pieces together, and then Talia, your leading freshman, the top scorer, and not just because she's the freshman, the top scorer in the SEC at one point, hurts her back, and then she leaves the team for a family emergency. All those things, yes. I mean, it sounds like excuses, and that's, again, why I honestly take a step back from it and don't involve myself, because I am personally connected to the program and consider Coach Nabors a friend, so... You know, I don't want to come off as biased, but you have to see that looking from the outside in, this was a very important season, and to not make the tournament, you know, guarding, I know everything happened, but, you know, you got to get to the point to where you're making the tournament. You are, especially with the fan base, they want you to be successful, but they're used to you not making the tournament. So outside looking in, it's hard to back the tournament if you're not making the program if you're not making the tournament. Mm-hmm. And that's just being honest. You know, again, this probably the only time I speak on it, because it's just where I'm connected with the situation, because it's just it's rough to be, because I don't want to see there be another coach. I mean, I want him to get another chance and be here next year. But you look at the alarming, if it was to happen, I'd have to sit there and be like, I can see why this happens. Mm-hmm. I can see the record. I can see the fact that they're not making the tournament. And let's just be real. Look at all the other women's programs that have been successful. Does that put more pressure on you have to be successful because all they are? And if that's the case, that's a legitimate reason. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we're at a point. Essentially, we are at a crossroads. Mike Nabors is at a crossroads. If he's to stay and things, you know, he gets to fill out the remaining part of his contract, whatever the stipulations are, I just think that there are some serious changes to be made. I know that going into this season, when we talked with them, you know, they were changing up the defense, changing up this and that, and, you know, it just didn't pan out. But we all know that he takes this harder than fans do, especially, and, you know, he sets the bar higher than fans do, so it's not like he's just content with what's happened. but you know, I don't have the answer. I can, like you said, I can see it either way. But something has got to change because we're seeing, you know, the other programs, especially some of the SECs, you know, the ones that have been towards the bottom kind of, they're starting to creep up here and there. They're starting to make pushes. And so, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, we've got to do something because, you know, and it hurts to see it, it, other sports. It's one thing, but for some reason it stings a bit more when I see the former players on the women's basketball team go to other schools play. It just, it stings a bit more.
Yeah. And it stings when you see them go and have success, you know, when you, you look, cause I root for them. I root for them. Erin, when she went to Mississippi State, Marquisha, when she's at Ole Miss, you know, you see that those players leave and having success, you, you want them to do well because, I mean, you'd be nothing but petty if I'm saying in my position and being connected with the program and rooting the players just because I followed Erin since she was a freshman and then she chooses to leave for Mississippi State our last year. I still root for her because, I mean, I followed her since she's a freshman. Same thing with Michaela, you know. Her fifth year, you know, root for them. You want, I want this program to be successful. And I think that's a lot, the other side of it is, if they didn't want your job or they didn't want this program to be in a better spot, that means they don't care. They actually care. They want the women's basketball team to be successful. They want Mike Nabors to have success with this program. I think that's a lot of it. And it gets lost in transition of, it's just frustration and it gets aired on because he is the head coach. So, but, I mean, to me, I wish nothing but a successful program out of it. And it's just, it's been hard to see the comments and see everybody the way they speak of the program. And I don't butt in because it's, like I said, I've got to be real. I have nothing in defense when it comes to the, how people were frustrated. And I will continue to bat for him and the program, but yet I'm not going to discourage others from airing out their frustrations. I just, I'm not. So that, you know, if you see me quiet on a situation or just not talk, which we haven't talked about it all year, you know, that's the reason why. I just wanted to be real with the listeners, the fans, and might not speak on this subject again. I just, cause I'm just too close. I'm too close to the situation to give an unbiased opinion on how I feel about who should be the coach and where they're at. That's, that's all that I will say on that subject. And if I'm wrong for it, I am, but I just want to be honest on why. And I hope people can really respect and understand that when it comes to that position.
And I know it gets brought up a lot in comments and posts and whatever. And, you know, it's one of those, we could sit here and speculate what's going to happen or who would be a replacement if it happened or this or that. But then it's just, I feel like you're wasting energy because it hasn't happened. So there's no point to sit here and dwell on the, you know, the what if factor. Like it's just a long conversation that can get drawn out and then it amounts to nothing. Yep.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll dive into the baseball, new number one team in the country. And of course, we'll talk about some spring football and then we'll end it on why I think that the LSU fan base and some of their, I guess you would say their personalities are pretty soft when it comes to dishing out but not being able to take it, and that's how we'll end the show. But we'll be right back after a quick commercial break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the offices Robertson, Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Spring. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewing products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And want to welcome you back to the Hog Talk podcast. And again, started off with some baseball talk. Number one team in the country, what can you say? I don't know if this early in the season, if it's a curse. Some might say so, but it's good to say, especially right after the women's track program wins the national championship, then you follow it by your baseball team just gets as the number one team in the country. What were your thoughts about the weekend?
I mean, I was happy, obviously. You know, getting into Sunday, I didn't turn on the game Sunday probably until, I don't know, Arkansas was down 5-4. But then, you know, so I was just like, oh, great. But then we had, like, right when I turned it on, we scored, tied at 5-5. And then next thing you know, it's 10-5. And I was just like, oh, okay. You know, those first two games, we were, you know, waiting for the bats to wake up. And they finally did. So, you know, looking back so far at the season or the series that we've had, you hope to get the series taken care of in the future, you know, obviously game two out of the three games, because I feel like game three so far have been kind of, I'm not going to say struggles, but, it's been some sketch moments at times that have put us into holes that just kind of give you an uneasy feeling. So, you know, and it's something as the season progresses that things will change, the dynamic will change, but this early in the season, getting that number one ranking, I mean, it's cool to see, but at the same time, I'm just like, oh, there's a long ways to go until June. So,
yeah, and the fact, you know, like you look at that UCA game, they've struck, not, I wouldn't say struggled. They've just played close games, these midweek games. You look at UCA and how, again, you know, we played Little Rock. You got Oral Roberts coming up on Tuesday before you start your SEC opener against Missouri on Friday. But again, you see the potential of the bats. You look at it being close, and then you look at the last two games against McNeese and that doubleheader. And that's impressive. You know, you go 3-1 in the first game, and then you just open it up the floodgates in the game two of the doubleheader at 11-1 against McNeese State. And then you follow it with an 18-5 shellacking on Sunday. So hopefully, you know, you carry that momentum into Missouri, which – you want to talk about programs that are struggling. Missouri is, I mean, other football, good thing they got football. Because you go 0-18 in basketball, and now you're starting off not looking too good when it comes to your baseball program. I want to believe they just got beat by, was it a D2 school? Or do you know what the level of the school was that they got beat by?
Oh, I think it was D2.
D2.
I'm pulling them up real quick. Yeah.
I'm looking at their schedule right now. But yeah, I mean, they're 8-8 right now. And when you're losing the...
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Cal Poly, you are losing to UC San Diego, Southeast Missouri. You lose to Northern Kentucky. You lose the series against Northern Kentucky. You lose 2 out of 3 to Purdue Fort Wayne. You split 2 out of 4 to Purdue Fort Wayne. And you get to play Kansas. That's who it was, Purdue Fort Wayne. I'm trying to see if it shows what they're in the Horizon League. So I don't know if that, I know that's in their basketball conference. So still yet. It's just a tough, and I think they're even talking about.
It says that they're Division 1.
Division 1, okay.
Mm-hmm. Except for men's volleyball, because apparently they've got men's volleyball.
Purdue Fort Wayne, I apologize for calling your program a Division 2. My apologies on that, but they're just talking about them going winless in the series when it comes to winning the series in baseball. So, again, thank goodness they have football, which we can't talk about that on them because they're killing us in football. But moving forward to Missouri, I mean – if you want to start your dominance in SEC, which, look, you're when we talked about it, when we're talking about the track and field program, when you're the standard, you have to win these series. I mean, that's just that is – I mean, I know you're not – you might drop game 3 if you win the first 2 and you're clinching the series. And I think that's the biggest – when it comes to grace, as long as you're winning the series – if you do drop a 3rd game, you know, you're trying to work on, like, I think that's why they had these midweek games, you know, to work on your rotation. And look, I wish other sports would be able to have that availability to where they could develop their bench, develop their second string. But baseball is the only one that does that, really, you know. And it's because they play a lot of games.
Yeah, you know, looking at Missouri's a good way to ease into the SEC schedule.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you never know what's going to happen, especially in baseball, because we've seen it before that a team that shouldn't, you know, they might have a night that their pitching's just on point, or they've got a night that their bats are going, but, you know, it's a good way to ease into the conference season. You know, it's definitely one of those with baseball, you got to just the one losses here and there, it's going to happen. So, you know, that was one thing that in years past it's been like, you know, I see a loss and you try not to overreact. It's like the bigger picture is the series.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It doesn't hurt as much. And especially when it comes to the rankings and whatnot, which like we just saw with Wake Forest, you know, you lose the series, you drop to, I don't even know what they dropped to, 7th.
Yeah.
Something like that. But.
Yeah, and that's harsh. You know, look, I mean, you're going to drop series. It's not like football. You know, if you drop a game, you drop 10 spots in the poll. I mean, that's not – but then again, I mean, they turn around and can sweep the next 2 series, and then they're right back in the mix. I mean, that's just where we're at. But this is the time where, all right, we're really going to see what this team is now. They're hitting. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got 5 guys hitting over 300 with Will Edmondson hitting 269. You know, with 26 at bats. So your majority, other than Wiwa, I should be able to know how to pronounce his name, you know, hitting 230. Hudson White is hitting 225, and then Jason Jones hitting 211. You have a majority of your guys that are getting 40, 50 at bats, hitting over 300. Mm-hmm. 30 home runs total on the year. No, 16 home runs total on the year. And you've only given up 8. When it comes to your pitching, man, again, stellar. Brady Tiger, 0.9 ERA, 3-0. I mean, as much as talk as we talk about Hagen Smith, and it's warranted because dude's a stud. I mean, Brady Tiger's sneaking up there too. 28 mm-hmm. strikeouts. He's only given up 2 earned runs on the year on 20 innings pitched. So he's pitched the most innings on your team and has a 0.9 ERA and 28 strikeouts. That is where I think that's one of the things you going into the SEC play. How's the strikeouts going to correlate over into SEC play? Mm-hmm. And how dominant can they be? And even if you're not getting strikeouts, how many ground balls are they going into double plays? You know, you can't just go into SEC season and start getting torched.
And it was a good timing, I think, for to see the return of Stovall and Dylan mm-hmm. Carter.
Yeah.
You know, you got this weekend, then you've got UCA tomorrow. You've got a series coming up to open the SEC play against Missouri. So you've got some games to really get back in a groove before you get into the full swing of things for those guys, you know, returning from injury. So it was good to see Stovall hit a home run. You know, it was just one of those you wonder, you know, guys like him, are they going to get the bat back or how long that's going to take? And, I mean, it didn't seem like he missed a beat.
Yeah, and then your freshman, pitcher of the week, Gabe, pitcher of the week, 2 saves, 1.93 ERA. Arkansas, again, went 4-0 during the week. Their 30th consecutive non-conference home weekend series win. Mm-hmm. I mean, that says a lot to where your program's at when it comes to that standard that we always say. And just looking, yeah, again, the matchup against Missouri – is you got 6:30 on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, and sad as it is to say, all games will be streamed on the SEC Network Plus. I really wish they would find a better way. And
the SEC Network has the alternate channel.
They've had it since the inception, and all it's done has been a blank channel. I don't understand why that's not been a thing, and it should. Because, mm-hmm. again, you're using a broadcast team. You're using cameras. Why can't you project it on the SEC Network alternate channel? Mm-hmm. We get March Madness on freaking True TV, and it was True TV, TNT, and there's – what's the other one that they play the March
Madness? True TV, TBS, TNT, and TNT. But and then CBS, yeah.
Well, I was just going off on those three, the Turner broadcast. The random ones. But we can't get – the SEC alternate channel.
So. You know, and it's one of those things. I was glad to see the 6:30 Friday night, mm-hmm. just, you know, the first real, like, Friday night.
Oh, it's going to be packed.
Oh, yeah. That whole weekend, I mean, granted, it's going to be a little bit cooler than I think probably originally thought, but, you know, I wholeheartedly expect a pretty large turnout this weekend. And I think it was last year, maybe, or maybe earlier this year. I remember seeing Mizzou post about like their entire weekend, like the attendance, and it was like one, and it was an attendance record, but that was like the total of one game for Arkansas.
Oh yeah, and you know what? I mean, it's funny to say because we're used to it and we're spoiled at Arkansas mm-hmm. when it comes to fans and turning out. But you know, it's cool when they get to say, "Hey, look, we've had more fans here than anybody else." But let's be real. I've been to an Arkansas softball game when they've said there's 1,800 people there and there's 40 people in the stands because it's freezing. I mean, how many of that attendance record was season ticket holders? You know, I mean,
that's what we look at. You look up the baseball or the basketball attendance, and you know, it's always just says 19.2, and it's like I can see at least 5,000 empty seats in here. So we're just going off the season tickets and not calling actual attendance. But it's even, you know, some of those schools too. Like we look at Tennessee's baseball stadium, it's fairly small. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just the way of it for some of the schools. I just like to poke fun at Mizzou when I can.
We get what, see, 4 months. So eight months out of the year, we get to poke fun at them. So we'll take it. And they can, again, talk about football they want. That's a major one. So, hey, we'll take, you know, 1 for 3 or 1 for 4, however sports you want to include. I think it kind of evens out, but it's fun to, even if it's not football, to say it's a rivalry. But moving on to softball. Softball team finished the Razorback Rumble. They started out with a loss to South Alabama 2-1. And we're talking about those wonky games, those, you know, teams dropping games. This is going to be another one of those sports where you see a team like South Alabama, you see a team like South Dakota State that had a couple of Arkansas kids on their squad. You know, you're sitting at 20-5 now, three-game winning streak. You're 12-3 at home. You, too, are starting your SEC weekend at Auburn. So, no midweek game. You're heading right into it. Your first SEC matchup is at number 25, Auburn. So, Arkansas, we talk about SEC, been at the top, one of the top programs in the SEC. They have a bit of target on their back, especially – when your first SEC matchup is against Bree Ellis's former team in Auburn. So I would love to see her welcome. I'd love to see how she's welcomed back at Auburn because, you know, when she announced, it was mixed. It really was a mixed deal. There was a lot of people who were very supportive of her. And then, of course, you had the trolls and the ones that were just disgusted that she was coming to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, looking back at, I think people – We look at names and we think like, oh, like we really lost South Alabama, but this is also a South Alabama team that beat Alabama and that beat, who else did they beat? Number 17, South Carolina. So, you know, this isn't a South Alabama team that's just, you know, ho-hum trying to get by. This is a team that has beat ranked programs already this season. So, you know, it's nothing to whiff at, but, you know, I was still shocked. I'm always shocked whenever I look at the overall record because I'm like, you've already played 25 games.
Yes.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, and you just look and you see these teams like a South Alabama. You know they're going, like they're playing in the Gamecock Invitational and go 2-1. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to these, again, like you said, you're playing – Alabama beat them. And then you tie Arizona 1-1. Mm-hmm. They called it after 11 innings. And I'm sure that had to do with the drop time, you know. But the thing is, Arkansas bounced back. You know, they beat Arkansas 2-1, and then they dropped against Nebraska and then Arkansas following two games. But yes, we're seeing an uptick in women's softball. And I love that I love the popularity that is coming with it. We're seeing a lot of these sports. And the good thing is, you see with soccer, Arkansas is near the top. Softball, near the top. Track and field program, you're at the top. You look what they've done in volleyball. Look what the golf team's doing. Look what Jordan Weaver's doing with the gymnastics teams. All these programs that you're seeing at the top of the SEC and their nationally relevant programs is very exciting to be able to go and watch. The tennis program, didn't mention them. You know, they're up and coming and getting ranked and playing and beating top-ranked teams. So it's awesome to see these teams, swim, dive, the up-and-coming. We talk about every year, who's next? Who's that next program that's going to step up? And we see it every year that another program – this was gymnastics year to step up. Now they've taken that stage and we're here. Who's next?
It'll be, you know, speaking of who's next, I know we haven't discussed it yet, but what are your thoughts on the new running back coach with the football team?
You know, it's one of them that you hate to see Jimmy Smith go. And there was a lot of talk of him and Bryles leaving for TCU and seeing what. But it all goes into, you were at a port in time in this program. You know, Sam Pittman's on his last leg, you know, he's got this chance with Bobby. Let's see how it works. Okay, Bobby knows how important this is. He's going to go get a guy he trusts and he's worked with. And you look, any guy that has had NFL experience, you know, it's just, to me, it's a big deal, but yet it's kind of not, because the running back position's not what it used to be. You know, it's not like you really got to rely on this guy to get 20 to 30 carries a game to win you football games anymore. Mm-hmm. You got to have a balanced attack, but more so, it's, I would say it's 60-40 passing. You got to be able to get the ball in the flats, even the little drop, the dump passes in the flats. So it's almost
which I hope we never see again. Yeah. You know, I mean, with now that Bobby's back, because we should be seeing the wheel route from exactly. The running backs.
And have a quarterback who can launch it 65 yards. But it is. I mean, it is a big deal, running backs coach, but it's not as significant. If you asked me this 5, 6, 7 years ago when Bielema was here and they were running the two tight end set and it was smash mouth football, of course your running back coach is going to be relevant and one of your top running – your position coaches, because the run game's utilized a lot more. So it's – you want to see somebody who comes in that – Bobby Petrino trusts. He has NFL experience, so that's always a plus when you're talking about bringing somebody into an SEC program, because let's just be honest, SEC is just a farm league for NFL. So there's just so much unknown, because, again, you can bring in whoever you want when it comes to Bobby Petrino or the running backs coach. If that O-line don't produce, that running backs coach, it's not going to – look like things are working out, because they're not getting any yards. So it all starts up front, really.
It does. And, you know, I was thinking back on it, because there was a lot of questions, or there was a lot of comments, you know, like, oh, that was quick on the hiring. But, you know, it was rumored out there that, I mean, Jimmy Smith had been interviewing since the end of the season elsewhere. Yeah. So I think they kind of knew that he was going to be on his way out. So, you know, Colby Smith was already in line to come over. You know, I look at a lot of this is just going to have to do with how the team performs and who the head coach is next season is where you're really going to see.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
How this hire works out, because we all know that recruiting is a big deal, and if we're having a coaching change, then who these guys have recruited might not be that much of an impact on it.
Yeah, and this is nothing against Jimmy Smith. It's nothing against Bobby Petrino. Maybe what Jimmy Smith wanted to do with the running backs, that's not what Bobby Petrino wanted in his offense. It could have been a totally separate issue than Briles or whatnot. But, of course, people are going to throw out the irony that he went there. But, hey, why not leave Arkansas and go somewhere where I'm comfortable? You got a spot where the OC that you've worked with. Look at the guy coming in. He's worked with Bobby Petrino before. So you got a guy that's going out. Yeah. So it's good to – you're not just getting some guy that doesn't understand Bobby, because from what I've heard, you know, it takes a lot to understand him, and I know he's kind of calmed down over the years, but, you know, this is an important spot in his career, because what if he does want to give it one more go as a head coach? Look at Barry Odom. We thought he, after Missouri, he was going to come to Arkansas, and he was going to run the defense, and maybe he was just going to ride off to the sunset, or maybe he thought he was going to lead the Razorbacks if Sam Pittman decided to retire. Now he's off at UNLV running a program. So, you know, Bobby Petrino, you know, he might want to give it one go, and now it's testing the water. Say, let's come back at his OC first before we just throw you in the head coaching position. But
there's a lot of questions, you know, going into the season. So,
yeah. We'll end the show on a, I guess, a controversial topic off of Razorback. sports, but just one that I was kind of going back and forth with the LSU fans today. And just the I want to go back a year, last year, and provide context to, you know, when they were winning the national championship and playing Iowa and all the can't see me stuff and the antics and getting in people's faces. And, you know, you block Samara Spencer's shot and you stand over her, and all that was fine and well, and we applauded that. I was even on their side of the fact that when it come to LSU and beating Iowa, I felt like they deserved the national championship. Well, we fast forward a year, and we had a bit of an issue with the SEC championship tournament championship game with them in South Carolina, and how they're just up and on, and they're appalled that South Carolina would act this way and do these things when, one, they started the argument, they started the fight, but yet there's no accountability. All I've seen is justification today, and you know nothing about this, and you don't watch, you can't tell what game and what play did Mulkey sit there and just straight up say, and quote, "I wanted Angel Reese to do that because she's not going to do that to one of our teammates." You are sitting there condoning your player doing the same thing, but when it's done to the LSU side, well, their fans can't handle it today. Salty as all get out. Even invited one of our Believe guys to, you know, hey, let's have a discussion about it. You know, nope, didn't want to do that. But it's just, to me, it's funny when last year you were the dogs, you were the darlings of the basketball world, and then when you get pushed around a little bit, you tuck tail. You got your superstar that, you know, when all hell broke loose, you ran out of it. You're talking about your twisted ankle, but your twisted ankle didn't keep you from running your mouth on the mic after for the post-game press conference when you're talking about you're not scared of anybody. Why did you walk away when things got rough? I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was rich, especially coming from somebody like Kim Mulkey, who, you know, she's talking about this and that, but yet she condones it. She wanted her player to go up and grab Full Wiley. She said that was a good play because, yeah, it led to not them getting a wide open layup, but they just got in their feelings a lot today.
Yeah, you know, I think it was going back and watching it because I didn't see it live. It was blown way out of proportion. Yeah, I mean, I keep seeing all these headlines, which I know what headlines are. They're to grab your attention. But this was not some knockdown drag out like the media was making it out to be. Everything just made it seem like this was just so rough and so bad. And it's one of those, you know, it happened. I look at what, you know, post-game comments from Dawn Staley, from Ken Mulkey, two completely different ways it was being handled. And I applaud Dawn Staley 100% for her response. Her talking about her players coming up to her and apologizing for their actions to her, holding them accountable, et cetera. You know, I think the worst part about this whole thing was one of the LSU players' boyfriend jumping the scorer's table.
Yeah, that could have been bad. I think it was a brother. I think that was...
It was a boyfriend.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, it may have been brother.
I think
brother.
It was... You're right. I think it was Flazer's brother. But still, you're still putting in your position.
Getting arrested for assault and battery afterwards. It's like, dude, you're jumping the scorer's table at a women's game when women, you know, players are getting into a scuffle. Like, you're going to do something.
Yeah, that's... I mean,
what, read the room.
But they even justify that. They're like, oh, that ain't what happened. You're taking everything out of context. He literally jumped over and then and bowed up. Yeah, he didn't put – sometimes you don't have to put your hands on somebody to make a statement. You know what I'm saying? And or force to it to be too late or to be too much. You know, if you're putting yourself in a position to make actions come back at you, you don't put yourself in the position in the first place. And he did. I mean, he jumped over, bowed up. Yes, nothing else happened, luckily, but he was escorted off. But you can't – that just turns into a dangerous situation to where they see one person do it. Now we're seeing a lot of people do it, and we can't have that in this game. Yes, tempers flared. Both sides for making it physical were wrong in what they did. I just thought it was very rich from the LSU side on when they got applauded and for being that hard-nosed team last year – to now when they're the team that gets pushed around, they want to cry foul.
Mm-hmm. We don't need another Malice at the Palace, people. No. Come on.
But that was all, that's all I got on that issue. I just, you know, I thought that it, and look, I've followed this game for a very long time, and it's funny when you are, and I do it myself. Everybody does it. We're fans. We all get into arguments where we're biased and we're, but it is funny. It's almost like showing up to a party and you're sober and you're trying to talk to people who are drunk. That's exactly what it's like when you're unbiased to the situation. You see both sides. You've been partial to both sides, trying to have a conversation with a fan who sees nothing but one way. That's the best way I can describe trying to have conversations with the LSU fan base today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, they don't – and it's like that with a lot of things, not just, you know, women's sports. It's like if you see both sides of a situation, you know, automatically it's you don't understand or you're this or you're that. And it's just like I don't have to pick a direct side when you can see, you know, both sides of the equation.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is what it is, and good luck to both teams, I mean, in the NCAA tournament, but it's just, I got a good chuckle up, and I was really wanting Blake to come on to try to talk about it or go on his show and talk about it, just have a discussion about it, but, you know, things don't work out that way all the time. But, Adam, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
Yep, I'm good.
All right. Well, that will do it for another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast. Brought to you by BetOnline and Sterling Soap Company. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.